You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Yeah, guys, I just thought I'd have a bit of monologue here after a strange experience I had today here in Melbourne, Australia. By the way, it's Harry O here on Fakeologist Radio and fakeologist.com. And today for me was supposed to be, you know, I've been working weekends lately. And it's taken a toll on the family, so the family friends kindly obliged to take the two kids off us for the day. While me and the wife went out and did something that we wanted to do. And they lived up in town, so we thought we'd do something in town as well. So we went to the state library. We had a bit of a feed at a Greek restaurant before we went there, and then as we were walking up Sponson Street, started to see a lot of rainbow flags around. A lot of people with the word yes emblazoned on their chest or on their flag and different slogans and different pickets and whatever. I'm like, what's going on here? And because I'm not too in tune with the news and the media with what's actually happening here in Australia, and Melbourne in particular, I don't really engage with mainstream news services. I was quite surprised to see a mob of several thousand people, even if it's not the 20,000.
2212. Hey, Harry Al.
Hey, Ab, how you going, mate? Yeah, got me.
Let me try that again. 2212. Hello, Harry Al.
I can hear you perfectly. I think you just cancelled out your headphones for a little bit, mate.
Yeah, I just had the volume down. How are you? How are you, mate?
I'm very well, and you?
Well. Thanks for doing the bumper. I got it the other day, and I put it into the rotation.
Where's my hat?
I'll send it to you as post-haste.
I think the bumper used to be a lot harder than it is these days. I don't know if you changed it at all. The bumper. I didn't find it that hard at all.
Well, some people get tripped up on that. Yeah, I don't know why. Difficult for them.
Right. Yeah. I did study it beforehand just to make sure that it was all, you know, digi-dig, as we say over here.
How are you today in Melbourne, Australia?
Yeah. So, you caught me in the middle of describing my strange day that I had. In that I was completely unaware that there was the marriage equality rally was happening in Melbourne today, centred on the State Library building. And me and the wife were prepared to go into the city to specifically go to the State Library, not to join the, you know, so-called equal rights rally, but to actually look at the, they had a big history exhibit on. If you spend a bit of time, I think we spent 3 or 4 hours in there just browsing through history that is very specific to Australia and in particular Victoria. And I'm there with a very keen eye trying to pick apart dates and values of money, you know, in times gone by and whatnot. But I got my own little thing out of that and lots of avenues to explore from it. But what we fascinated me the most was the day was this bloody rally that came through town. But we struggled to get into the front doors of the State Library because this rally, you know, had taken over the entire area. So we just snuck in through the back. And by the time we'd actually gone through and, you know, looked at all the exhibits and, you know, I'd taken a few photos of things here and there to research further. But then as we came back, we're like, they're all gone now. It's all good. And then they'd obviously gone for a big march through the Melbourne Central Business District and returned back to the State Library for another rally. And, just hearing some of the stupid slogans that were being chanted out, because I don't know if you've picked it up on previous chats before, but in Australia we've got this non-binding, basically an opinion poll run by the Australian government, which has cost us $122 million to find out, basically to gauge an idea of a percent of public support to amend the constitution for the gay marriage, to include gay marriage. And yeah, there was a lot of fucking strange people on the streets today. And I felt, I'm quite uneasy in a crowd to begin with, but in such a crowd as I experienced today, I was extra uneasy. And I saw a few too many emergency vehicles in and around the area. So, the wife and I quickly absconded from the area and, got out of it. Wow. But, yeah, I haven't stopped thinking about it since.
Wonder why it cost $122 million. How could they possibly spend that kind of money?
Well, I don't think it's uncommon to governments worldwide that they're pretty inefficient with rolling out the dollars.
Yeah, so I don't believe in inefficiency. I don't believe they're inefficient. I believe it's fraud. I don't think anyone's so stupid that they could just squander money like that.
They can. That's half the reason why I work in construction now and not consulting engineering, because when I was doing consulting engineering, we were dealing with local government all the time. And like the difference between getting a job done and talking about it and planning it and managing it and having all these stupid meetings about it, like you quickly realize where the money goes.
Oh, you're saying there's a lot of consulting and too many intermediary steps. Well, they could just do the work.
Everyone supposedly, has to be an expert these days to offer a valid solution to, a particular problem that an element of, I mean, sometimes we used to have, private clients as well, but, the overwhelming amount of business that came into that particular company was from local government. So you're forced to sway to what they actually want to see, more or less in their public relations. So, yeah, severely compromised engineering.
Okay.
But yeah, it was strange today, with this rally about the non-binding plebiscite, which it should either be a plebiscite or not. It got me thinking about a lot of, I spoke to you on our first call about, the psychology of things, and I've done a fair share of reading about that sort of thing, and so I thought I wouldn't mind sharing a couple of quotes out of Propaganda by Edward Bernays.
Sure.
Really, for me, absolutely rang true today when I just saw it.
I felt uneasy in that crowd, but then I'm like, hang on, this is an opportunity to sit back and actually, study such a crowd. Gustave Le Bon has, similar sort of take on things. So I'll just read a bit of a quote from page 118 of Edward Bernays' Propaganda, and that events and activities must be created in order to put ideas into circulation in these channels, which are as varied as the means of human communication. Every object which presents pictures or words that the public can see, everything that presents intelligible sounds, can be utilised in one way or another. And when I was there, that's the end of the quote, by the way, when I was actually there, there was a loudmouth up on stage with a megaphone, and you had all the stupid, the three-syllable chants. And sometimes they went over three syllables, and as soon as they went over three syllables, the crowd couldn't repeat rhetorically.
Oh, wow.
Given to them. When they say, 5, 6, 7, 8, blah, 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 8. As soon as they started pumping more than three syllables into the crowd, I found that the crowd couldn't actually respond in an intelligible manner that you could actually pick up either via my ears or the audio on my phone. And I took a video of it, and I've sent that down to John Le Bon, and I've got a Dropbox link that I could probably link in the live chat stream after we're finished. But
okay, that's good.
Some of the stuff they're saying, like, it rings true. Like, you've got your concerns with kids that are in school and being taught, the trans agenda. Like, I remember one of the particular lines in whoever it was on the megaphone was chanting was, 5, 6, 7, 8, how do you know your kids are straight? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, how do you fucking, you're targeting the kids, like, in this rally? And, there was all sorts of people, behind this whole cause, but, guys with a lot of very effeminate men in the crowd is what I basically got out of it. Whether they're, of homosexual persuasion or not, it doesn't really bother me, but just men that seem to be too emotionally engaged in a subject that really shouldn't consider them, shouldn't concern them.
Well, too much fast as beer, all the estrogen.
Well, yeah, I just saw,
a lot of beta men as, or even, deltas, as it would have been described in the Huxleyan terms.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's been riding on my mind ever since I saw it today at about midday Australian Eastern Standard Time. So I thought I'd actually, just jump on the live stream and actually just, get it off my chest and,
Oh, that's interesting. You should have taken a YouTube, take a video with your phone, maybe interview some people.
I did take a video. I didn't do any interviews or anything like that, but I did take probably, I think it's a 15 or a 20 second video of just them chanting, these easily imprintable slogans, you know, the ones that people remember. But, yeah, I've got a Dropbox link to that, so I'll pump that in the live stream when I'm done so other people can see what was actually happening on the ground at that time.
That's good. I like that.
So, yeah, that's what I just thought at the time. I'm like, no, I've got to record this and, yeah, make it known.
Is there broad support for this issue in Australia?
Well, I don't know. I'll see them sitting there looking for... I looked over the, you know, the mainstream media news coverage of it, and they were saying, you know, those crowds of... One source says crowds of 20,000, the other says 30,000, but they definitely weren't shoulder to shoulder, and it's not a very big area, so I'd say that the crowd was probably maybe a third of that size, you know, actively engaging participants. But, you know, I know the media likes to hype things up, particularly when it's politically motivated.
You don't know if this is going to... plebiscite is going to be positive or negative.
Well, the thing, the stupid thing is about the whole thing is
carrying on. They were saying, you know, in the slogans and, you know, the chanting and the propaganda, that, you know, basically the overarching message was vote yes for gay marriage.
And I thought, oh, yeah. It's not even a vote at the end of the day. So it's almost illogical that you'd
put that much effort into something that's non-binding in the first place. All it is a gauge of public support.
Well, maybe it's just a distraction to keep the people busy while they pass laws that limit your freedoms.
Absolutely. I really think that's, you know, I haven't discovered what the thing under the carpet is, but certainly to me, you know, being in the thick of it, it was a big distraction. And I think, you know, other people with less knowledge behind them would probably have fallen into it, you know, and got a bit involved. There were some really passionate people there, like, you know, I was miles away from the person who was speaking, and I couldn't hear what the person was saying. Yet everyone around me was like clapping and cheering whenever they said anything. Like, and to me, it was inaudible. Like, it just goes to show, you know, the logic filter on the general populace is just non-existent. Like, they'll just champion behind a cause because it makes them feel part of a group. I don't know, as some sort of self-validation, or, you know, whether they just need that as part of their makeup as a person. I certainly don't need that. Look, I felt very uneasy in that crowd.
Yeah, you're not the target audience. Family man, children.
Well, yeah. They're lucky the kids were down the other part of town getting looked after by a family friend, so I didn't have to see any of this stuff. But I saw some, you know, there were some photos online that were, yeah, concerning. Men in underpants ordering food at Hungry Jack's. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I didn't need to see that, and you didn't need to put that in the news, but it's there now.
Well, that's the image they want to portray.
Yeah.
The extreme image, I suppose.
Yeah, and so many people go along with it. Look, they can't see through it. They feel sympathetic, you know, and I think sympathy is just a useless emotion. Like, you know, you've got to be empathetic and forward-looking at least, but sympathy is just a fucking, well, to me, it seems like it's a narcissistic trait to me.
Yes.
Well, you sit there and you feel sorry just so you can tell someone you feel sorry
about something that you're never going to do anything about. Like, it's just a virtue signal at the end of the day to me.
Well, I don't have too much more to say on that topic. It's not anything that comes into our media here doesn't make it this far.
Yeah, oh, I definitely wouldn't make it there. Yeah, it was
very Melbourne-centric and at best Australian, you know, Australia-wide. But, yeah, I don't know if they'd organise other rallies in other states or anything that far into it. Yeah. No, my own thing was, like, I just want to keep, like, I noticed after I hung up on the last chat that you're sort of saying that, you know, I might be restricted for time being a family man and all that. But I'm going to do my best to participate as much as I can.
Oh, that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, which is going to be after 9 o'clock local time calls, which is, yeah, early in a lot of people's books, but, you know, there's things to do. But, you know, whatever time I can give up to express some thoughts that I have, I'd love to contribute because I've just got so much out of Fakeologist, it's not funny.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah,
that's a good resource. There's lots of good material here.
Yeah. It was funny. I was so nervous. Like, when I spoke to you the first time, I obviously hung up and everything and terminated the call. I'm like, God, you know, I was rambling. I was this, I was that. Sounded stupid and all that sort of thing, but at the end of the day, it took till the next day for you to upload it and then actually listen to it. I'm like, oh no, it wasn't that bad, you know.
That was good.
I think a lot of people would probably have that barrier, like, hate listening to their own voice, or, you know, worried about that they're going to sound stupid or whatever. But hey,
yeah, it's a natural human thought, I believe. But once you get going and you're just talking normally, and people like to listen, look at that audio turned into a over 7 hour marathon.
Yeah, I was so surprised because after I'd hung up on the call, I looked at it and I'm like, geez, there's a few people in here now. Poor old John, you know, he made his dinner accordingly, waiting for a long audio chat for me. And I'm like,
Feel sorry for John. He can hold his own. He was fine.
He doesn't feel sorry for himself, so I won't feel sorry for him either.
Yeah. Well, it's just amazing. It just takes one person to start the ball rolling. It can be quite an interesting chat. It went all over the place, but that is the nature of the audio chat. I think people like the random nature in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think I only made it to 4 hours on that one so far. And then, but I'll listen to the rest of it.
Yeah, it's meant to be broken up.
It just feels like it's good for me to be able to actually talk about things with people that understand the things that I think about, or at least can.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It is fantastic to be able to interface with others in the world because there's not enough loping about to be able to effectively interact. That's the beauty of the internet, for sure. We can gather people from far and wide.
Yeah.
I hope the Discord server keeps its integrity because they're just introducing video now. I tried to
upload a video directly off my phone to it, and it just spat out a JPEG image for a screenshot. Mm-hmm. Put them on and save that video to my Dropbox and put it up. I'm pretty sure it came as a video.
I don't think you can store videos on the server for sure. It's just thumbnails, but.
Like some sort of
you will be able to use video to see other chatters on the server. That's what they're starting up, video chat.
But Discord definitely has made it a lot easier
because I just did not even want to try on the last system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're going to be doing video chat. I'm not going to be doing video chat, but it is something they're rolling out, and hopefully it won't knock the server down because the bandwidth is far greater for video. I hope they don't wreck their own server.
I'm not going to contribute to the video bandwidth because, you know, I've got a brilliant face for radio, so.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I don't have a camera hooked up, so I don't have to worry about that, but I'm more worried about the audio suffering from everyone using video because that is a real bandwidth hog.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But we'll see what happens. They're just rolling it out now.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. Anyway, mate, pretty much the last one. I'm going to make it short and sweet.
That's your report from Melbourne. Very good.
I'll try and make it regular rather than extensive.
All right, that's just fine. Did I ask if you watched September Clues? I can't remember.
Yeah, we went through that.
We did, okay.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't come across Fakeologist. And went through it all because we discussed prior to seeing that. My opinion was it was some sort of missile dressed up as a plane, and you went on. Didn't say that was a possibility, and he had highlighted it in some of his videos, but since retracted that opinion.
Yes, well, there was a couple of new fakeologists that came on in the last few days, and they seemed to be bringing up some controlled opposition material. And I just pointed them to Clues Forum, September Clues. So let's see if they review it. They were just some two new people that showed up in the unverified section.
All right.
I guess there's people still discovering.
I haven't even looked into the Clues Forum site. Like, I have only really watched September Clues, whatever video material was available. I'm not a big forum person. Like, me, I find it very time-consuming.
Yes.
I've been on a couple before that have just turned to shit, so I sort of given up on it. And I figured, now talking about things, it's actually easier to get your message out, get an opinion out at least, get some feedback off other people and, you know, get some criticism back. It's easier to do that via talking directly than it is to write something that can be interpreted completely differently to what you intended.
Oh, you're right. As a matter of fact, one of the original ideas for Ecologist Audio was I wanted to just read the forums out loud, not every word, but I just wanted to express the ideas that were found in the forums for those that didn't want to read them. Mm. And I never really accomplished that goal because I'm not sure the best way to do it other than read, or I think the best way is just to back and forth with one other person.
And it shows the people that are actually engaged, and I reckon people that actually talk in the forum, you've probably got four times as many people at least that sit there and listen to everything and have thoughts on it. And, you know, I just hope that, not to sound like a pariah or, you know, a martyr or anything, but, you know, for me coming out, for me, it's a big thing to actually hop on the chat and talk to other people. And other people that used to think like what I did, to do the same thing, actually do it and just have a chat. You know, get your ideas challenged, you know, get some feedback, and hopefully it contributes to, you know, critical thinking you can possibly be.
Yes. Well, the Clues Chronicle between Hoi Polloi and Kay, they are trying to do what I was trying to do, where they go through the forum and read it, but it seems like they don't get through a thread either. They might read one or two good posts and then get sidetracked on many different tangents, but
yeah, I'd be so I'd like hard, to, because when you've got the time there to actually, when you're writing things and thinking things out, you've got the time factor is almost irrelevant. You know, you can just type for as long as you want to type for, but if you're talking, you've got to be on topic and contentious the whole time.
Yeah, you got to be concise.
Ideally.
Yeah, it's difficult, but there's so many good threads on Clues Forum. And even on my site, of course, I'd like to read through them, but I'm not sure the best format. I'm not sure if I could do it alone. Obviously, I haven't done it in all these shows, so there's only so much time in the day these days, but it's something I'd like to get back to, maybe as the weather gets colder here. We'll have more indoor time.
Yeah, that's something we don't get.
Yeah.
It's pretty much always warm enough to be outside here.
Yeah, well, you're lucky.
Even if it is fucking cold, yeah, it doesn't snow, so yeah.
Yeah, well, it doesn't snow there, really. I guess it snows in Tasmania and places that far south.
Funnily enough, Tasmania doesn't get that much snow. They haven't got very high mountain peaks to begin with, but a lot of their weather is basically regulated by the sea around them, so they get...
Yeah.
Yeah,
they have fairly mild winters there. Like, they do get snow on the peaks occasionally, and I've been down there when Mount Wellington, I think it is, that overlooks Hobart. I flew down there one time, and it was like the first time in 5 years that they'd had snow on the peak, and like all the locals went crazy, and everyone was up on the mountain, you know, during this flurry of snow, and we just happened to rock up there at the same time. But I'd say, yeah, it's funny enough that the lower you go in latitude. But up to a certain point, the more snow there is. Like, I think we've got Thredbo and Charlotte's Pass, which are in New South Wales, and they're fairly high up in latitude, and they get probably the most snow out of any of the other resorts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, places near the water, their temperature is heavily moderated, by the water than anything. Yeah.
Which is exactly what happens where I am. Like, we rarely get frosts or anything like that, so yeah, it's quite pleasant, you know.
Yeah, it's a very moderate... Very moderate there. That's why so many people like to live in Australia.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably move up further north if I could, just because it's a bit even more moderate, like a bit warmer. Well, doesn't get as warm in summer, but doesn't get as cold in winter, but yeah.
I see your friend John LeBon has joined in.
Oh, has he?
John LeBon, hello.
He was writing
an email. Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm just listening, guys. Just enjoying the chat.
Did you finish your lunch, your dinner?
I finished my dinner and I published that article that I spent the whole day on. And now it's time to relax after a big day.
What article is that?
It is entitled JLB's May Mac Fight Predictions. No, forecast. That's what I called it. You need to use alliteration. JLB's May Mac Fight Forecast.
Harry L., are you interested in the fight forecast?
I just had a quick text chat with John before I joined the live stream, and I think I don't want to ruin the market for myself, but I reckon there might be some sort of a draw there.
Oh, you're hard to hear, Harry. You're really far away. I didn't realize you're so hard to hear until John came booming in. I had to lower my volume
with his beautiful microphone.
Where is this fight taking place? Because I don't care about boxing. Is this happening here in North America? I don't even know.
I do not know where it is happening.
Nevada. It's taking place in Nevada, where all the big... Las Vegas is Nevada, isn't it? Let me just have a look here.
Yeah, I call it Las Vegas.
That's it, Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's taking place at a thing called the T-Mobile Arena, which is apparently a pretty new place. And it's taking place in about 13 hours, the biggest fight. Some people try and say it's the biggest fight of all time, but it's certainly a big fight, no matter who you are.
Okay. Well, I'm so out of that loop that I so don't care about it, but maybe people do.
Well, you say you don't care about it, but you care about news events in the media, right?
Some of them.
Some of them, yeah. Well, this is a major news event, and there's every bit as much chance for potential fakery as there is in the news events that we pay attention to, you see?
Yeah. Well, I don't doubt that most... I've long subscribed that most or all major media sports events, sports entertainment is fixed just because they need to control the outcome for maximum revenue. I have no issue with that concept. That's easy to... That's an easy one for me.
Controlling it, that's taking most of the money out of it. So, yeah. It'll be in their own corporate interest to maximize the profits.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a part of it. That's definitely a part of it, like fixing outcomes or at least, you know, swaying them one way or another to maximize profit. That's definitely part of it. I think there's more to it, though. I think some of these events can also play into broader narratives. And so this fight that's on tomorrow, my time, is... You know, it's black versus white, and it's coming on the back of these Charleston riots. And there's certain numbers involved in the event that sort of do hint towards Donald Trump, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds crazy, trust me. But if you look at the numbers...
Gematria generator, did you?
Oh, I didn't use old mate Russian Vid's gematria generator, but there are some things that do kind of hint towards Donald Trump, as crazy as that sounds. And then there's another element as well to all of this, like to do with, you know, synchronicities and these sorts of things. So, yeah, I think these events are, if you're willing to sort through the some of the basic stuff, I think these events are interesting in and of themselves.
No. Russian Viz has his own Gematronator calculator. I know there's a Gematronator.com, which works pretty well. That's something different.
No, Russian Vids is better because it doesn't matter what number you put in there, it turns out to be 33.
Yeah. Is Russian Vids still publishing or did he move? He's got so many channels that I'm not getting any more notifications anymore.
Well, somebody tried to tell me that he's done, that he's pulled the pin or he's been banned or something. But if that is the case, it's only a matter of time before he comes back with a new channel and just re-uploads all of his old videos and makes money off all of the videos again. Some of his videos, he's uploaded like 5 times, man. He's a genius, really, when it comes to making shekels on YouTube. That dude is a genius.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I am...
Look at how simple his videos are. Look at his videos would seriously take maybe 2 to 1 production time, whereas a proper video will take you many multiples to one. But he's got it down to a fine art. And then he re-uploads the same video several times.
Does that work? For revenue?
Well, it depends who you ask, I guess.
I don't know. I've never thought that through. Oh, sorry, you're so hard to hear, Harry. I don't want to talk over you.
Yeah. Can you hear me all right now? Check 1, 2.
Oh, you're super faint. Super low.
Oh, really?
Oh, very low. John, is he low?
I've actually... a
little bit.
I've ordered one of your headset recommendations, Ab. So hopefully in the future I'm going to have a lot more clear audio with very little background noise.
Oh, are you getting a Blue Parrot Bluetooth for your phone?
I have forked out for one.
Okay, yeah, they're good. Do you have Amazon in Australia?
It came up in the search results for it, but I ended up just going to a local supplier that does online stuff.
You don't have Amazon in Australia?
I'm not too sure.
you don't. I don't think there is one. Otherwise, I would have an affiliate link to you for you. Only a matter of time.
Oh, it'll happen.
I'm looking forward to hearing you.
What's going on? Has everyone gone quiet up there?
Well, I was waiting to make sure I didn't miss anything Harry had to say, because he's so low. If I start talking, I can't hear him.
It's a bit like that. Listen, what I might do, because these headphones, the Blue Parrot's due to rock up on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. I might call it quits until then, and then call back when I've got some decent audio, and, yeah, we're going to have a real real good discussion without worry about talking over one another. I thought I'd just, stick my head in tonight, put my two bobs worth in, and,
Yeah, your audio's fine enough, man. Like, you'll be better. You will be better off with the proper headset, but you're fine now, man. I wouldn't be too worried about it.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting in a car with just the phone on speaker, so it's a pretty muffled environment.
Sitting in the car, what is that to try and not wake up the house? Is it?
Pretty much.
Wow, talk about dedication, hey? Harry L. Looking out for the fakeologists out there.
Yeah, I'm sitting out in the driveway in my wife's car. Chat to everyone.
People should know this. We're in winter still, and down old Melbourne way, that'd be a pretty cold car unless you've got it running.
It's not running because that'd produce some horrible background noise. So it's not too bad at the moment here. It's probably 11 degrees Celsius with a good wind running through it. But I'm pretty warm and toasty in here.
Oh, there you go. Wow. So so this fight. Are you going to watch this fight tomorrow?
Oh, I feel drawn to it now.
Yeah. I'm definitely watching it, 100%. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what is going to happen, man. I'm not making any bold predictions. I know what should happen if it's a fair fight. Mayweather should destroy him, but I don't believe in. There's something weird going on, bro. I feel kind of exhausted because I spent the whole day writing about it, so I'm a little bit over it, if you can get what I'm trying to say. But yeah, this is crazy. We live in a crazy world, my friend. We live in a crazy world right now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And I mean, you look at it this way: he's paying lower odds, as in the market has more confidence in McGregor winning tomorrow than they did in Trump winning the election. Trump was paying $5, man.
Yeah, and his polls were worse.
So I mean, yeah, we live in a crazy world, man. That's
entertaining.
Talk of his own.
If it's something I've taken away from you, it's to learn to laugh at it when you know what's going on, or you think you know what's going on, or at least establish some sort of pattern.
Yeah, well, I mean, what can you do? Like, especially some of these things that are going on. What are you supposed to do? Like, some people, I think, are addicted to sitting around complaining about it, and it's like, what's the point of complaining? You know, that doesn't fix anything.
Oh, it just makes whoever's listening to them, less likely to engage and think about it.
Not just when you're communicating with people, but even internally, if you keep looking at the world and looking at all the bad or the negative, well, that's going to be your life. What kind of life to lead is that?
Shit ass. Yeah, so I think you just get to, it sounds stupid and a bit hypocritical, but you've got to take it seriously and lighthearted at the same time. And just, understand your own position, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand my position. The best I've come up with is I don't know what the hell's going on. And there's not really much I can do to change the world at all. It's hard enough just changing my own behaviors and trying to improve them. So I just have to go along for the ride and hope for the best. You know what I mean? That seems to be all I've come up with in 30 years. That's about the crux of it.
I try and figure out try and get a decent impression on what sort of system's running and just try and fall through the cracks of it and laugh all the way down.
I tell you what, though, if I were to make a big, bold, here's the thing. I want to get away from YouTube for 3 months this time. I did 1 month last time. I want to do 3 months this time. Jesus, and so what better way to do it than to make a bold prediction, a video with a bold prediction, say, if I'm wrong about this prediction about the fight, I will quit YouTube for 3 months.
Spend your money any time in the world.
So that way, if my prediction comes wrong, it works out perfect, because then I have to take 3 months off YouTube. It's actually the best thing for me is if my prediction comes wrong. What do you reckon?
Oh, you'd have heaps more time on your hands.
Oh, yeah. And then YouTube, I mean, there's diminishing marginal returns. I really enjoyed that 5 weeks away, so that might be my plan,
come
my friend.
Come back with Zachary Hubbard.
Well, look, he called me out, so I challenged him to a debate, and whatever happened there? Nothing. He disappeared, didn't he?
He's writing his book.
Oh, he's writing his book, is he? Yeah. Give me a break.
Okay. Not a fan, obviously.
Dude, the guy came onto my channel and spoke the nastiest shit about me, so I said, okay, let's have a debate. Let's do it.
He's against flat he contacts
me on Skype and says, hey, let's do this debate. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. This would be great. Never hear from him again.
Well, he's against flat earth, so you might like him that way.
You've got your rhetoric, you know, very much in tune, John. I think, you know, I've seen you challenge people before, and I think some people do just go, okay, maybe I am full of shit at the end of the day. I'm not going to fucking do it. And you, as much as me, like you realise what you do and you don't know, but you know enough to basically contest someone verbally on the spot with pure logic.
Well, I like to think so. And I guess I'm lucky in that I don't have many claims that I need to defend. So some of these people are claiming that they can, you know, crack the code and see through the code and, yeah, and, you know, this proves this and this proves that. And so they've got a lot to defend. You see what I'm trying to say? Whereas with me, what do I have to defend here? I'm saying that I don't believe in dinosaurs. I don't believe in heliocentrism. Like, if someone says to me, prove this or prove that, I can go through all the evidence that I've seen. And then if someone doesn't agree with me, it's like, all right, no big deal. You know, I'm not going onto people's channels, calling them out. And the behavior of some of these people, when you take a step back and look at it, it's, we're dealing with some crazy people, my friend.
Oh, yeah. Like, anyone that comes to me claiming that they know something as an absolute truth, I'm like, I'm going to stop listening to you. I'd rather you encourage me to think and challenge my own beliefs or thoughts or what I've learned and tell me something that, like, hey, I've got the A1 answer, man, you know. Like, it's a very pious position when people come to you claiming that they know the truth. I think it's a very, yeah, it shows a certain aspect of humility in a character to go, I don't know. And it's fucking rare that people will tell you that they don't know and tell you why they don't know or why they know certain facets of a particular topic. But
well, there's a good quote that Ab has on the top of his website that says, run from the man who, follow the man who's searching for the truth and run from the man who's found it or something like that. And yeah, I don't know who it's attributed. Right. Yeah, I don't know who it's attributed to, but I love that. I like it's like, yeah, if people are genuinely searching for the truth, not trying to defend their existing beliefs, but genuinely just searching for the evidence, that's the kind of person I want to be around and listen to. When people say, here's what we've found. This is it. Now we're going to defend this, like old mate Unreal a couple of nights ago. That's a toxic experience, isn't it? Because it's not constructive. You know, it turns into name calling, and it's like people get defensive about the beliefs they hold.
Yeah. You're stuck on one thing.
Yeah, but at the same time, another thing I've learned is people need their stories. They need their beliefs. They need some kind of explanation. They can't handle.
It's so hard to talk to people about thinking, as I suppose is where you channel it down to. I was having a chat with the wife last night about this. I'm like, you know, how many people do you know in your life that talk about thinking? And like, and this is, I think there was a Hoaxbusters call a little while ago, and Chris Kendall might have brought up the quote about, like, the knower is the person who is aware of their self-awareness. And there's like, I really think that there's only a small portion of people in this world that actually are self-aware of their self-awareness, like knowing why they do things, what things they do, who they do them to, and whatnot, but actually and can reflect on that. I think people, you know, go through life, you know, being the ball in the pinball machine, not understanding why the machine's actually there in the first place.
Yeah, and I think not only are they designed to be that way, they might be better off that way. You know what I mean? Because when you reach that position where you realize you don't know how we got here, you don't know what we are, you don't know where we're going, you don't know who's in charge, you can see that things are changing so quickly. So clearly something's going on. No one else seems to see it or care. The people who claim to see it or care clearly don't care and clearly don't see in most cases. It can be not a very pleasant place to be. So maybe people are better off just being pinballs, as you call them, you know. I'm genuinely open-minded to that possibility at this point.
if you can, the pinball analogy, something I've had floating around in my brain for years now. You know, you've got people that play the pinball machine to put their money into it. You've got the ball that does what the player says. You've got the machine, which was built by somebody, and you've got the design of the machine, which somebody designed to operate in a certain way. And to me, that's been an analogy that I've at least been able to apply to many different situations in life when you meet different kinds of people and whatnot, and you're like, you know, it's a bit of a spectrum, like in terms of how much you know and how much you can control,
and yeah, a myriad of intermediate points in between.
Well, every now and then a pinball falls through, like poor Drew Morfitt today. And, you know, he actually came and gave... I was down in Melbourne during the last summer. He came down to our cricket club because I was back at the old club playing a few games when I was down there. And he gave a speech at a money rate, a fundraising night, you know, where everyone gets together and you raffle off stuff and you have a speaker. And our speaker was Drew Morfitt. And, dude, he was sensational.
Yeah. Now, to those in audiences abroad, Drew Morfitt is I think he's probably predominantly, you could call him predominantly an AFL, an Australian Football League commentator, yeah?
Yep, but I think he also did the cricket on ABC as well.
Right.
But yeah, most people would know him as an Aussie Rules commentator. And yeah, he commentated for at least the last 30 years, maybe more. He was still commentating in Perth this year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and yeah, it was a good night. And then, man, he was still there even after most people had cleared out. he was good value, and he chatted with everyone afterwards. And he was just a regular dude, just telling his stories about not just traveling Australia, but traveling the world, commentating, and the people he'd met. All of these funny stories he had, and he told him as though he was telling him. Not for the 1,000th time, even though you knew that he was telling them for the 1,000th time, he still seemed like he cared about them and excellent value. And I was sure he'd be back next year. You know what I mean? I was like, yep, this has been good. The club got a good speaker. Everyone's laughed, had a good time. He was good at the raffle too, you know, like raffling off whatever people donate to the club. And a lot of the stuff was crap. No one was bidding on it. And he was up there telling jokes and like, who's going to bid on this, this box of old, you know, it was funny, man. It's hard to convey to you, but so it was funny looking back. And that was only, I don't know, 8-10 months ago. And yeah, dropped dead today, apparently. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. 69 though. I saw people trying to say that he was young. It's like, well, 69, that's, if you get three scores and 10, you've done okay.
Yeah, I would have, I would have pegged him for younger than that.
Yeah, he came across it. He did come across like he was probably, yeah, maybe 60 rather than 70, but...
Well, if you say he's been doing it for 30 years, that makes him kind of a late bloomer if you think about it.
Well, I said at least the last 30 years, but I read an article today that he was doing something and then he took up a gig at about age 30. I remember that stood out to me because that's about my age, yeah? And then he just went from sort of strength to strength, so... I don't know if you can still do that though. I mean, I think it looks to me like commentary now is jobs for the boys. Like I don't think a regular guy could get a gig commentating. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm being too cynical.
Any female you see commentating, at least in an Aussie rules you've got the women's AFL now, which has got a whole lot more prominence, but preceding that by what, 2, maybe 3 years was, don't know her name, but she appeared on the Australian Footy Show and she became the host of it. And I think that was a preamble for women's AFL league and the big push to equality in sport.
Oh, hey, that's a good point. Okay, so for the international listeners, our main football code that most people, especially in Melbourne and Perth and Adelaide, support is what we call it football, right? That's our main winter sport and very popular. And this year was the first year of women's AFL with professional women players who, you know, most of them would struggle to beat an under-16s team. That's just the reality of the situation. In fact, an under-14s team would clean these girls up, I would imagine, a good under-14s team. And that's nothing against the girls. That's just the reality of the world in which we live. But they're getting paid now, and it's being promoted the hell out of by the mainstream media, and anyone who criticises it is a bigot, is an old-fashioned, racist old man or whatever, who cares. What are your thoughts on this, Ariel? This would be good.
Yeah, no, I think it, like, it's a massive push at fucking, you know, so-called equality, when at the truth of it, it's not really equal. No one can ever be equal to the next person. Everyone's different. And I see this, like, when they go for this push with, you know, the women's AFL versus the men's AFL, I think it just pushes that equality agenda that can never, ever be achieved, but everyone loves to aspire to it. And that by never being able to actually complete it, it just becomes a stupid, it becomes a movement, it becomes a process, and nothing real is ever realised from it, you know, and it just completely detracts from, you know, individualistic arguments.
Well, I looked at it from the perspective of how strongly they've pushed this in the media to really get people to think that this is, you know, the women's version of the same competition, you know, it's going to be professional and it'll be something for girls to look up to. And I don't know if you've had anything to do with junior girls sport, but I have had a little bit to do with it. And I don't want to say too much, but let me put it this way. I once knew a man who had daughters who he didn't want playing in the local girls league. And it was intimated to me that he would prefer his daughters play with the boys in the men's league to keep his daughters away from the LGBTIQ community. If I can just put it in terms of that couched, right? And the reason for this is because the women's teams are chock full of what we might have called tomboys, if we were being very measured in our words.
I really think there is, you know, there's tomboys and there's lesbians.
Yeah, so I'm using one term and I'm using it to describe the other. And this is just part of it. This is just part of it. It's just how it is. Yeah, and so we're encouraging young girls now to play sports that not long ago were the domain, if played by women, of a certain type of woman.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
No, I've got some, yeah, first-hand examples of shit like that going on.
It's insane, man. And then they're using, I mean, there's a gay round in the AFL now between St Kilda and Sydney. And then they'll show photos of the St Kilda and Sydney players in like gay awareness seminars, and it's just, dude, this is so George Orwell. It's I feel like I'm in a TV show. You know what I mean? That's how I feel sometimes. It's like, this is so obvious what's happening, and all of these lemmings cannot see what's going on.
Did you listen to the first bit of the chat where I was talking to myself at first, but then came in as well, but yeah, I got stuck in the middle of the so-called vote yes gay marriage rally.
No, I didn't catch what you said about that. What, fill me in. So you went to this rally, did you?
Yeah, I finally got a whole weekend off work. So one of my wife's best friends was kind enough to look after the kids for the day. So like, oh, let's go out and do something useful. So we both went. We thought, oh, we'll go to the State Library of Victoria.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, back again. So I thought, we'd go to the State Library and just have a look around at what they had. And we turned out, when we rocked up, they had, you know, there was a good exhibition of Victorian history, which you'd probably be interested in. But aside from that, when we tried to get in there, we didn't, because I don't watch the regular media. When we went in there, we had to basically sneak in through the back of an entire rally that was going on with this, you know, this yes, gay marriage vote thing going on, you know, the non-binding plebiscite, which you've described as Australian going full retard. And yeah, I snuck in through the back and tried to go through the exhibitions in the library quietly, but all you could hear was just the chanting and the three-word slogans and everything going on the megaphones out the front of the library coming through this, you know, this old stone building. So it was bloody loud out in the streets. And, yeah, there was all sorts of people there, is how I'll just leave it at that. As we went to leave the library, we were like, oh, sweet, they've all gone. And about 2 minutes later, I was sitting there having a smoke, and then the rally came back up Swanston Street and occupied that whole area again with just all these chants and slogans and just, I've linked you, in a direct message to the video that I took there, and it was just absolutely, couldn't hang around there any longer because it was just burning up my brain, basically. I'm like, I can't stand it to be there listening to this shit any longer. Like, how simple can you be?
Well, these people are completely degenerate, and it's not their fault. They've been raised a certain way and convinced of certain things by their teachers or their lecturers or whatever, and they've fallen into certain social circles. And they really believe in what they're doing. They really believe that what they're doing is good and that anyone who's against it is evil. Like, in their mind, these people are martyrs for a good cause. And there's no salvage. There's, unfortunately, most of these people are never, ever coming back.
Absolutely. You know, they think they're going after the noble cause. I think it's a noble cause. And, you know, you see all the, you know, the placards and the signs and whatnot. And, yeah. But what struck me the most, and I said this just at the start of the chat, there's your synchronistic train, is that I remember one part of the slogan, because it was basically inaudible. After they went over five syllables, audience couldn't repeat back to them what they were trying to say. And they had the typical protest chant of, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, blah, 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 5, 6, 7, 8, blah, 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 blah. And all I could hear was the 5, 6, 7, 8 was, how do you know your kids are straight? And, like, that to me, I was just like, what? I am in the middle of a very leftist crowd, and I'm being triggered. I'm like, how do I deal with this? And I'm like, oh, just analyze the people. Try and get something out of it, and then just go away and get a coffee somewhere.
Well, you know, my boy H.L. Mencken is quoted as saying that, and I'm going to paraphrase, that in any good man's life, there'll come a time where he wants to spit on his hands, hoist a flag, and start slitting throats. And I'm paraphrasing H.L. Mencken there. And I know that feeling when you are surrounded by people who truly, through good intentions, through the best of intentions, they would quite happily destroy your child through this gender theory nonsense.
And they don't, you know, and what I don't get, because after that, my wife's good friend that looks after the kids, they live in a very diverse part of town, up north of Melbourne off Sydney Road. And I was walking back down Sydney Road, I thought, after all I've seen today, I'm like, I'm going to go get myself a stubby and just relax for a bit. And as I was walking down, I went and got a bit of cash out from the ATM, and I noticed these two girls there, and they were posting stickers, kind of little slap stickers that you see everywhere around town, with most of it nondescript messages on it. One of them struck out to me, and I saw them post it on a phone booth, which was, "Dead men don't rape." And I just sat there, and I looked at the two girls, and I'm like, how far gone is your fucking logic that you can post that stuff and make it public to people and think that you're having a marked difference on the world?
Yeah, man, we're dealing with people who there is no hope for, unfortunately. It's just the world in which we live, isn't it? And yeah, you're having to, you have to see some of the worst of it, man, because you're down there in Melbourne. That is degenerate HQ of this country, dude. Like, I know Sydney is the gay capital, but Melbourne, bro, it's the degenerate capital, my friend.
We've got the enclaves, and it's not just the LBGT, you know, IQ QWERTY enclaves. It's all the other enclaves. You know, you've got your Bogan enclaves, you've got your lad enclaves, you've got your country boy enclaves and all that sort of thing. And everyone seems to fit into a little niche of society that they feel comfortable in. I suppose a lot of my frustration lies in, like, I don't feel comfortable in any niche. I don't really feel the need to be comfortable in any niche, so I'll just go and do my own bloody thing.
Well, I think there's a lot of people in that situation who, especially men, and especially men, say, age, say, 30 to their 40s, where they're still young enough that they'd love to be more social and what have you, but the world has changed from even when they were teenagers. I know people who are scared to share their thoughts on Facebook about this gay marriage vote. Full-grown men, they're scared. And what can they do, you know? Like, so they retreat back into their sheds or into their lounge rooms or into their bedrooms, and that's what's happening in Australia, and I'm sure other countries as well. There's lots of, especially young men, who don't understand what's going on.
Having an opinion that doesn't necessarily match up with what the vox pop is, and feel wrong for doing it. And this is funny because, like, it's been a very synchronistic 2 weeks for me, in that I've been speaking to multiple different people from completely different areas of my life and friendship circles and whatnot. But yeah, the message coming through has been clear: is that, you know, if people are being fairly persecuted for thinking differently, I suppose at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, Orwell calls it wrongthink, and you're not allowed to have wrongthink now. You can't. It's not a case of, you disagree with me. Fair enough. It's a case of, what? You're against gay marriage? Like, what? Like it is genuinely like a religious vigor that these people have. And you're smart enough to know, and I'm smart enough to know, these people who act religiously with these political issues, their social issues, whatever, they don't know any better. They're just the products of their environment. And they've been trained just as Orwell said they would be trained. Dude, I've said this publicly before. I used to support gay marriage when I was in high school and early university. I thought, how could we not have gay marriage? I used to be one of these people, man. I used to be one of these people who was like, how could you be against it? Give me a reason why you're against it. You know, this is what they do to people.
Give me my free education and all this sort of shit, you know, and I'll be, you know, stuck into the state for the rest of my lives. But you don't think about it in that level of, in that depth when you're that young. And I think it just takes a bit of experience and a bit of knowledge and a bit of the smarts and a bit of going outside the realms of regular thought and actually, you know, occupying your own mind in your own time with your own thought to come to some deductions about what things are really about. And, you know, I've had to do that the hard way. Like, it's taken me so much time to come around to, I mean, you've been accused of being nihilistic before, but it's not nihilism. It's just, to me, it just seems to be almost pure realism in that you only know what you can know. You can only do what you can do. Make the most of those faculties, but don't expect anything more of yourself or from society as a whole.
Well, the accusations of nihilism, like, in fairness, I can see why people would say that because I quote Nietzsche. You know what I mean? There's a couple of Nietzsche quotes that I like to post, and you know, people see him as a nihilist, and so that's, you know, I can see why they would accuse me of that. But it is a simple case of most of us have never even spent any serious time, serious contemplative time, thinking for ourselves, how do I know that there is such thing as right and wrong inherently? Like, what? How do I know that there is a morality that I should stick to or that I should want the world to stick to? How do I know that? Why do I know that? Why do I believe that? And that's why I quote that Nietzsche quote about if you stare long into the abyss, and I'm paraphrasing, if you stare long into the abyss, eventually the abyss stares into you. Because when you are surrounded by people who are obviously and clearly immoral, they would harm children for their own political cause. They are harming children for their own political cause. And when there's more of them than there is of you, and when the very few people who are like you are too scared to say anything, and you feel like you're the only one saying anything, it's like, well, we are actually living in a fucking evil world, aren't we? So maybe I'm the crazy one for believing in right and wrong, because apparently no one else does.
Yeah. Or to even question the concept of what is right and what is wrong. Not many people do that. People just are confined by social stigmas and beliefs. They'll go along with a thought pattern that matches the group that they fit in with, just so they don't have to, you know, go over a few speed humps with their mates and describe how their actual worldview really is, and they'll always live life in conflict. I'm quite happy to be in conflict all the time. It doesn't really bother me because I know that I've got not a defendable position, but an ability to make someone question their own thoughts. And that's, I suppose, where you start encroaching into the meter aspects of these arguments, which is just the 99.9, I think, percent of the population is completely irrelevant, abstract, and not understandable.
Well, that goes to the heart of the issue. It's like a lot of these people, they if you actually analyze their behavior, they're not acting in a moral way. They could tell you what is right and wrong, but only insofar as they're repeating what they've been told. It's not, there's no real thought that's gone into it. And again, this is no fault of theirs. It's just how they've been brought up, but it's like, if there is an inherent right or wrong, it is being missed by the majority of people who we deal with.
Yep.
That's just the system. That's, you know, I know a lot of people who will talk all about virtues and right and wrong. They literally spend more time watching TV than they do trying to even change themselves for the better, let alone change the world. And it's like all this talk of virtues and right and wrong, it's all talk, man. It's all talk. And that's from people who claim to be awake or claim to know what's going on. Then you've got the people who, like your friends at the protest, they actually are putting time into trying to change the world. And look how they're trying to change it. They're trying to change little boys into little girls. I'm not even making this up. This is actually happening.
I believe in like that whole the meter Marxist dialogue that, you know, by being angry at something, a change will be brought to society based on your own narcissistic values.
Like, it's just, I think if you join a mob that thinks the same as you, and there's enough of you there, that you'll instill fear in the people that have control over you to change the rules that they make up in the first place. But to me, it's just, oh, it's like fucking banking in the dark, really. It doesn't get anyone anywhere. They might get a few weak-minded people to sign a petition and say, oh, yeah, and get a couple more non-binding votes. It's a fucking wank at the end of the day.
Well, there's a guy who I'm subscribed to on YouTube who uploads the Channel 7 and Channel 9 coverage of the major narrative of the day. And I just watched earlier a little 3-minute clip of Channel 7 and Channel 9's coverage of this protest in Melbourne. And they were promoting it as one of Melbourne's biggest protests that it's ever seen. And of course,
I was saying 20,000 people, and I'm like, there was not, you couldn't fit 20,000 people into that space, and this crowd was sparse.
And they do the exact opposite with anti-vaccination rallies. And it's just so obvious, man. It's not even like they're trying to kind of fudge the figures. They blatantly fudge the figures. You know, and so there are people watching the news right now who they're being persuaded into thinking that the gay marriage vote is going to win and it should win and it's a good thing if it does. And they're being manipulated in a very blatant way. You don't have to be that smart to see it.
As if it's a real plebiscite, and as if a fucking plebiscite even matters anyway, because I can fudge that as well. It's just it's a vox pop. It's a vox pop.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. Hey, listen, man, I'm going to get going. I'm going to go and make this, I'm going to quickly try and make this video, and I'm going to put my YouTube career on the line, and I'm going to say either McGregor wins in a controversial decision tomorrow, or you're not going to see me on YouTube for 3 months. And then I'm hoping that Mayweather wins and I'm off YouTube for 3 months. That'll be the best thing.
I'll just stay on Fakeologist then.
Nah, I'm going to quit. If I do get off YouTube for 3 months, I'm going to get off Fakeologist for 3 months as well. I really enjoyed the last little spell away from all of this. It was very eye-opening. So
you've come back stronger than it.
No, mate. I think we found a new Aussie, voice, a new Melburnian to carry the Aussie correspondent load.
Could fill some warm liquid in my pocket, John.
All right, man. On that note, I'm out of here. All right, you take care.
I'm shooting off too, mate. Take it easy.
Cheers, mate.
See ya.
All right, there goes John LeBon. Hopefully we'll hear from him one day again after tonight's big fight that I'm not sure if anyone is really that excited about. I know I couldn't care less about any boxing, but boxing has lost most of its interest for a lot of people, I think, but maybe I'm just getting old.
Oh, yeah, I'm still here, by the way.
Hello, Harry L. I know you're there.
Yeah.
By the way, your audio is so low. I'm just curious if you can, because I hear my voice coming back when you're not speaking.
Really?
Yeah, I'm echoing back through your speaker.
Probably in the fourth dimension.
No, it's probably because you got a bad. What are you hooked up to? I'm just curious.
I'm literally talking off speakerphone.
Oh, that's why. Well, that would explain it. You don't have anything you can plug in? Because you're so low, you're really going to not like your audio. I can't boost you on your own, sadly.
No, nothing at all until I get my headset. And then, I'm going to wait till that comes in until I do my next chat. But when that comes in, I'll be very excited to have a chat with everyone.
Yeah, because you're so super low, it's not even funny. But anyway, go on about the boxing.
I've never been interested in it myself. I've done boxing training myself. I've seen guys that are very good at it go at it in the ring together, but fight sports don't interest me. I don't know. There's something about it that just doesn't interest me.
Yeah, me neither. I'm not sure how much of the world is that interested in it either. I guess I'll be surprised.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the actual outcome is.
But John is staking his YouTube reputation on it. Boy, oh boy.
That's a big bloody call.
The tall order for the young man there.
Hey, he's got a
I also have another, I've got the other, another Australian, Yossarian. He says he's not coming into the audio until he works out something, but Yossarian, John's gone if you want to come chat. I think he's from Tasmania. Have you ever been to Tasmania?
Tasmania?
What, Arthur and all that?
Would that be a first?
Oh, have you ever been to Tasmania? I've talked to you, Sarian, I think, before.
Oh, yeah? I've been to Tasmania before. I really do like it down there.
Mm-hmm. Is it cold this time of year?
Well, for me in Victoria, it's heavy cold days that get down to maybe 8 or 9 degrees Celsius, but I don't know what it's like in Tasmania. I suppose it's quite varied because it's, even though it's a small island, I think the climate would be quite varied across there. It'd be interesting to hear, if your Syrian is from Tasmania, it'd be very interesting to hear his take on the Port Arthur massacre.
See if he comes on.
Yossarian, probably how we should be pronouncing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what, I can't remember if he explained the reference to his name, what it means.
Yeah, no, I can't draw anything out of it the way it's written. Maybe there's nothing to it.
We've got Napoleon in the live stream as well. Hello, Napoleon, if you're there.
Morning, mate.
You can't stay away for long, that guy.
Mate, you've only got to say my name in a minute.
Hey, Napoleon, it's good to actually talk to you, mate. It's Harry L. here from Melbourne in Australia.
Nice to speak to you, Harry L. Yeah, well, earlier, by the way, I went onto the Not Fakeologist website and you were low. So when I was listening live, but then as soon as I switched over and come into the live stream Discord, you actually increased a little bit. So that was on my end. So I did increase a little bit there. So you wasn't as bad as you thought. Ab's very tough on everybody, even myself. Because he has dead cat, he has dead cats in all of his locations.
It's going to be lower on the stream because the stream is taking the original and doing the best it can with it.
Yeah, well, you've been at this for years, so you know more about the logistics and all the troubleshooting involved. I will be investing myself in a microphone soon, but I've had to buy suits for weddings and all different things things. Yeah, not for me.
Well, once you've done with the wedding, wearing the wedding suit to the wedding, you can wear the wedding suit when you're doing an audio chat, Napoleon.
No, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep the suit on, go out and get myself a bleeding crazy job where I actually just earn loads of money for not doing anything because I can turn my mouth to most things. But do you know what? The past 4 years, I've just wanted a quiet life and I've had it. And now I want an exciting one again. So let's get back in the rat race.
Change is good.
It's been brilliant.
I dream of getting away from the rat race, but, you know, there's always reality that... The shadow of reality behind you, but I think you can only ever achieve a balance between the two.
Well, yeah, if you can work out balance, I'm one of them. I burn the candle at both ends, so I'm in two minds about getting into the rat race and creating a load of crazy habits that I had 10 or 12 years ago, going out womanizing and you know. Anyway, yeah, there you go. I'm just going to mute a sec, Ab. I'm still listening, my friend. But I was halfway putting a pair of pants on when you said my name.
That does not require a follow up.
Yeah. Anyway, one second.
We understand.
He's transvestigating himself. Yeah, that's funny.
Maybe I'll have to take my pants half off and have a good look. Yeah.
Too much fun on Fakeologist. Yeah, the EGI has quieted down a little bit too.
Not what it used to be. I listened to it when Unreal first brought it up. I think it was November last year. It piqued my interest for a little bit, but yeah, after a while, I couldn't subscribe. I had too many other things in my mind, so I'm like, nah, that can just wait. And I've never really been interested in it since, to be completely honest. But yeah, it does, if anything, and to me, like I'm definitely don't just subscribe to the flat Earth model at all. But
Oh, is that right? Excuse me.
Flat Earth and nothing... AGI, they both do cause you to pause and think about what you actually see in front of you. And I think for me, as a mental exercise, I think it's been a very rewarding one. We actually do stop and think about things from almost a 180-degree point of view to what you're used to seeing. So that's why I don't completely write off anything. Like, there's always a lesson in something.
I've got a picture of me in chat putting my pants on. There you go.
We were just talking about the new video abilities that Discord might have in the future.
Yeah, me and Del were having a fiddle with it the other night. It seems once you iron out the creases, everything's all right. There you go, there's me putting a pair of pants on. It's not me, by the way.
Stunt double.
It's, that's Paul Calf, one of the Manchester comedians. I grew up watching him. And he's one of the only people I've ever seen wearing brown underpants on purpose.
Brown. I can't say that I've ever worn a pair of brown underpants in my life.
Me neither. Maybe they were best spoke for the show. Well, I'm hoping anyway. Mind you, in the 70s, everything had a brown tint to it.
At a technical level, brown underpants make sense.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh, my God.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, you just flip them around and turn them inside out.
You know, you remind me after, you're going to think this is really daft now. Has anybody ever worn? No. No, I'll save that for Fakeologist XL. We'll save that fact there. But it will save your life, I mean it. Especially if you like going out clubbing. I might as well say it now. Always put a spare sock on in case you ever get caught short in a toilet with no toilet paper. There you go. There you go. See, I think ahead. Anyway, yeah. Howdy-o. So what time is it there, my mate? Is it about 8:30 at night?
In Australia, we're looking at 11:30 p.m.
There you go, you see. I'm still working off an AE map. Sorry, my mate. Yeah, so you were talking about Unreal and his EGI. How it got you in, and he paid attention to it, and then it just seemed a little bit far-fetched. Is that because of the lack of the elite gender inversion evidence, or the fact that it's going to be nigh on impossible to ever identify it?
Probably the latter.
It is the
lack of available confirmation. For me, like you do sit there and you go, you're going to hit a point where you need someone that's really fucking in the know to tell you, it's a dick or a puss.
Yeah. I'm pretty much there myself. But the medical side of things and the sports side of things, I can see all the imagery. But nevertheless, I'm not going to say Unreal's works, in vain. I think it's more prolific than anyone's I've ever read. And he goes into all different sides of it. Sometimes on air, he just puts little pictures up and you don't actually see the half of it. If Unreal ever wants to just come on and talk or wax lyrical about certain things, he can always, just give me a call and I'll just come and sit on air with him because, he is amazing and he leaves no stone unturned as well. So, whether or not it's provable. I think that's going to come at a later date, if I'm honest.
Oh, yeah. I think with Unreal for me is like, he's just got this like a brilliant open mind and to be able to entertain such an absurd thought and investigate it and come up with premises that support it, cause other people to think about it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I think that's ultimately beneficial even to our very small audience that we've got.
Yeah,
just to be able to flip things on your head and entertain a different point of view. Like, it's fucking rare in this, you know, in this day and age.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you've got that old phrase, don't you? Entertaining two thoughts simultaneously is a sign of intelligence. But I'll tell you what, regurgitating it in not your native tongue, I think that makes it even more intelligent. And his grasp of the English language, I mean, it's better than me. And I mean, I grew up with thesauruses and dictionaries, but he's second to none, really. He's excelled.
He's what? He's Norwegian that speaks fluent English and French, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Architect. I think he's in Paris at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Yeah.
And I can't even speak English.
Even to half learn another language is like, even to learn the tiniest bit of another language opens your brain up to massive, you know, possibilities, really.
Oh, God, yeah. I went out with a girl when I was about 18, 19, and she spoke 7 languages.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And, but you know, once you get to that age of learning where, you know, an early age, 12, 13, 14, children can take on so much information that you can understand why people just carry on with languages. You know, if it's coming easy to them, then why not? Because it's undoubtedly a skill. I mean, Ab was saying he can read French. You know, he understands bits of French and stuff like that. But it's not actually French. It's a totally different dialect. So we see how dialects and things change as well. So being able to it's like when you hear about David Irving, you know, spending time learning all the different German aspects of things, and I would love to be able to speak a different language or just to be able to grasp a different language, but unfortunately I'm going to have to grasp the one I'm speaking at the moment first, I think.
Yeah, it's the bastardised easy one. But I had a Norwegian girlfriend when I think I was 19, and a whole heap of Norwegian and Swedish mates and Danish mates, and back then I got to learn, knowing Norwegians, Danes and Swedes, basically, yeah, mingling all those languages together. Like, they're all very similar, but they have their distinct differences, and but they all have a common origin, which is, you know, a Germanic language. And, yeah, I can read. I could go through a Norwegian newspaper and get 80% of the information out of it that I need. To speak it fluently and understand someone speaking it back at me and comprehend it is a completely different matter.
No. No. That's literally like being put in a boxing ring and asking to box with someone who can box. You know, you'd have no idea. It's there's many aspects. I mean, I think that's why I do love listening to Fakeologists, because he'll get someone on, and the next time you hear them, they're talking Norwegian, or they've got all these different strings to their bow. I sent up a message earlier saying you're changing the world, pal. And do you know what? If he's not changing anyone's world, he's changing my world, because I'm definitely more open and less offensive. Look, I'm just going to mute for a sec, my mate. I've just got to do a couple of bits, but your silence won't be picked up, so Ab will probably come back in a couple of seconds. Yeah. I'm now going to put my T-shirt on.
Ah, so sexy. It must be a mighty big T-shirt, Napoleon.
I opened a can and started washing a towel while I was in the bathroom. Sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I'm spinning. My volume down. I'm spinning plates at the moment, mate. Well, whenever this goes live, I'm not ready, because I'm usually prepared for people going live late on at night. So when you see people on in the day, I just want to get involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but
Australian contingent.
Sorry.
It's this Australian contingent. GMT yes. Plus 10 crew.
Yeah. But do you know, it's good, because at least that way people here can don't have to listen to my stupid accent. So there you go. Oh, look, Harry, I'm not going anywhere, but I am muting because I need to do at least 10 or 15 minutes of stuff now while I'm here. So I'm going to rush around and I'm going to mute everything. I'm going to get it all done really fast and I'm going to fly back. But I'm only going to mute. I'm still going to be listening.
Yeah, well, I'm probably going to hang up, mate. But it's been good hearing your voice and actually talking to you, because, I listen to a lot of your stuff.
Please don't take it personal. I'm just an idiot. You know, mate, don't worry.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. I'm just an idiot from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, you take care.
I knew, my friend. All the best. Thank you, Harry L. Take care.
Hi, this is Chris from HoaxBustersCall.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.